This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is 4:03. Rob here. Big Zook over there.
Yeah.
We drunk Jason Quick right there.
Well played. Is there a better Jason Quick than drunk Jason Quick?
No.
No. It's really when he's at his finest.
Nope.
And if you ever get a chance to go out onto the town, bang the city head on with Quick, you take it. It's a great night.
And don't forget Charbo.
Yes.
His right-hand man.
Yeah.
Dave's an animal.
Yeah, except he dyed his hair. Like, have you seen that?
Yeah, but that was for the kids. He's a teacher.
I don't believe
that. And he did
that.
It for his
no,
kids.
No, that's a lie.
It's not
so
a lie.
So it is
I
a
double,
lie.
No, it isn't. I double-checked on this.
No.
It was for the kids.
I'm calling him out. So his right-hand man, Dave, who's also great. So but he's a grown man our age, and he dyed his hair bleach blonde, like Eminem style. And he did the old, it was for the kids. No, that's like when Mike Gundy is like, hey, if you make the shot, I'll take my shirt off. Yeah, you're doing that because deep down you want to dye your hair. Mm. That's part of the deal. Dave wanted to dye his hair, realized how douchey it was to dye your hair bleach blonde when you're 45. So he came up with some cockamamie scheme about how it was for the kids. Have you noticed that he's still wearing it that way?
Is he?
I think so.
I haven't seen him in a while.
I saw a picture a while back, like maybe a month or two ago. It was still there. He wanted to do that,
well,
and he used the kids as a smokescreen.
Perhaps this is the next court case for the Honorable I. Everett Ropp.
Yes, I'm bringing Dave on here and putting him on trial. You didn't do that for the kids. You wanted to dye your hair.
By the way, I got a, in the interest of just keeping you abreast, or two breasts,
yeah.
Tiger Woods stuffed one in on 17, and he's got about 7 feet for birdie.
And this would give him a share of the lead.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes. Just take a look.
It's a little uncomfortable.
My sports
right?
pants are on, and yes, they are tight. I love that dude, man. He's fist pumping, and the crowd is going crazy. Let me tell you real quick. We're going to get into the NBA playoffs here, some of the other matchups. But
there's other matchups?
Apparently.
Have you seen the East round? The first round of the East? It's god-awful. There's not one interesting matchup in the East.
So we'll get to that, but one of the cool things, I got lucky enough to go to the Masters last year, and one of the really cool, underrated things about going there is that, you know, I don't know how many people know this, but you cannot have your phone on the grounds. As a matter of fact, some people just tuck their phone away. I think what most people do is they just leave their phones in their cars.
Okay.
Like, if you are caught with your phone out there, like, it is a big no-no, and they pretty much just scare everyone into following every rule imaginable out there.
Yeah, I thought maybe.
So you do not see anyone with a phone.
Have you seen the little pouches that they do now at some concerts?
Yeah, and then you have to lock it.
Yeah, we went to Ali Wong, the stand-up comedian, and they give you these little pouches, and you put it in there, and there's only certain areas in the building where someone's got like a little gun that you go in there and like they scan it, you can open it up. They make you lock them away.
Yeah, who's the comedian? Dave Chappelle did that, too.
Yeah,
a lot of comedians do it. Here's the putt. Oh, he missed it.
Ah, Tiger sucks.
Vern.
Well, he's got anyway. 18, though.
I'm not down with the shirts that he's wearing.
Yeah, he's wearing the short sleeve, like, mock turtleneck. It's not a...
It's not... But it's so Tiger, though.
It's not a good...
It's an old man look.
It's
but
not
it's,
a good look.
It's a Tiger look.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much one of the old guys out there now.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the cool things about being there is... If you are on one part of the course, mm-hmm. if something big happens on another part of the course,
like the roar,
you hear the roars. And the thing is, nobody has a phone, so nobody knows what's going on. It's not as if you're scrolling through the leaderboard. The only way you know how everything's shaping up are the manual leaderboards, and they put up each hole by hole. There's a little man behind it. It's kind of like the old Wrigley Field scoreboard, yeah. Where if a guy gets a birdie, they've got him five under, so it's a red five. And then if he gets a birdie, the guy takes the next one down on that hole and then puts up a six. And so what happens is it creates this amazing drama around the course. While even though we were sitting on 17, some big roar happens on, I don't know, 13. And you're kind of going through the pairings like, that might have been Tiger or whatever. But Tiger roars are different than other player roars. But what's cool is when you're sitting on 17, all the people around you, you're just sitting there staring at the leaderboard waiting for them to change the score to see what actually happened.
Is there like a...
And then when they put it up, everybody on that hole cheers.
Is there a buzz? Like, do you hear... Is it like a game of telephone? Is like, does it pass like from hole to hole?
Yes.
Do you hear like...
You can hear all of it.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying like, like you see it go down, and then do you hear from other, like, does word spread around the course, like if there was a big shot or someone dunked one, you know, someone had an eagle or whatever?
I would say that no, because most people kind of keep to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I think
that's what I didn't know, if like people were like it was gossip that spread around the course, or you just hear the roar and then you see the scoreboard.
There's not a lot of socializing. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at the people who are there with badges,
I will tell you,
the net worth.
I get that the Masters is
minus like, me, of course.
Of course, although you do have the moat around Casa de Rob. I will tell you that I want to go to Augusta. It's on my bucket list, but if you just at face value, it just
it's super
like
stuffy.
The most pretentious and just like ass backwards event that you could go to.
Well, it is the way they run it. It really is, but at the same time, when you go there, you don't get that feel. What you get is, oh my God, they are on top of every single detail. Dude, there is not a pine cone. You will not find a pine cone on the ground.
Bird noises piped in because they've killed all the other birds.
Bird noises. You won't see a bird,
but you
hear the bird noises, and you'll see wires running up trees. Like there is no stone unturned, and it's really unbelievable. I think I told you when I got back, but the lines in the bath, like there's a ton of people on that course, right, watching.
Yeah.
And there's only a handful of bathrooms, and they're all offset way away from the play. And when you get over there, there's a long line. They're the fastest lines in all of sports because what they do is they bring in all these high school kids from around the area, and they have fun with it, and they literally, like, whip you. Like, dude.
Like, go.
Shake it.
It's like a third base coach.
You, right there. Shake it. Get out of here.
You got it. You're up. Get down.
Seriously.
Get down.
And they guide you to the stall. One or two. Guide you to the stall or the urinals. I mean, it's truly amazing. So you don't really – it doesn't feel stuffy. I think what's stuffy about it is – the club in general and who runs it. Yeah. Like, if you got in on the inside of that, you'd be like, oh my God. But
all the old racist white guys.
Pretty much. But as a patron, you don't get that feel. It's just like everybody's really like minding their P's and Q's. Like, they scare you into just making sure do everything
like,
right.
Yeah. It's like, cause for the threat of you'll get the badge taken away and it's never going to come back. And
yes,
it is.
There
is total compliance.
If I acted up out there, the person who was kind enough to give me that badge for the day gets it revoked for life because it's attached to him, not me.
Yeah. So it really is. They use the old like terrorist method, the Hans Gruber. I will kill you and the man next to you.
And there's a waterboard station.
So it forces everyone.
Don't get me wrong.
It forces everyone to mind their P's and Q's because you don't want to get kicked out, but you don't want to screw over the guy next to
you. We did see one guy. There was one bro who had way too much to drink. And his buddy, he was like stumble around, basically about ready to pass out, fall on his face drunk.
Yeah.
And it was funny to watch because his buddies were scared S-less that they were going to get booted. So basically what they did was he started passing out. They propped him up. So they weakened at Bernie's them. They propped him up next to a tree, put his hat down over his eyes like he was sleeping, and left him. They were like, he's not ours.
That's so great. Here's lean
That's
up,
what I would have done, too.
Lean you up against this tree, bro, and you'll be fine.
Okay, NBA playoffs, the rest of the series. We'll take a look at those next. Then in the news, it is 4:12 on The Fan.
Live from Moda Center, site of the 2019 Nike Hoop Summit, this is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
You know, now that we get closer to tonight's Nike Hoop Summit here at Moda Center, the celebrities and dignitaries are starting to file in, one of whom is right next to us here, and that is the great Jason Swigard, who will be calling the action tonight on The Fan.
And I will tell you that he has feathered his hair.
You need to put your mic by your face. That would help.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I was like, why isn't my mic on?
First time broadcasting?
Yeah. It's only been 15 years. Swag has feathered his hair specifically for this occasion. Look
it
at
looks
that.
Great, yeah. Swag's growing out his hair like me, huh?
He's like a young Farrah Fawcett. Look at that thing.
Now, look at Swigart. He's doing his game prep.
Yeah.
And he has busted out his, like, third grade, what do you call that thing? Like a...
Oh, that's a pencil pouch.
Yeah, like third grade pencil pouch with all his Sharpies and color-coded.
Yeah, that goes into his Trapper Keeper.
Look at that. That nobody works like Jason Swigart.
No, he's dialed in. Well, he's used to it. It's the Portland Pilots thing.
Yeah, he's hoping a Pilots game breaks out.
And I will tell you what, no one
can... Oh, actually, he's not. No
one can fill time like Jason Swigart, because when you're the play-by-play guy of the Portland Pilots, you chew some clock.
Look at that guy. Is that Barack Obama? Hey, Swigart, who are you doing the show with? Rashad Taylor and Andrew Nemec will be on the call tonight.
Yeah, Nemec's sports pants will be tight.
6:30. Okay, Western Conference playoffs. Looking at the bracket.
Did you see that the Clippers are the biggest underdog since 1998?
In a series?
Yeah, in a series. In a first-round series.
Oh, my gosh.
100-1.
Wow.
The Clippers v. Golden State Warriors.
They're not going to beat them.
No.
So we can just gloss right over that, right? Warriors will win.
I thought it was interesting. Like, that's... You go back 1988, you would think that there would have been a 1-8 that would have been a bigger mismatch than this, although the Clippers aren't playing particularly well right now.
They're not?
No, I think they've dropped a couple in a row, but for a while there.
Is it possible that they're not any good at all?
No. The Clippers don't have any star power. They just play their ass off.
And no, they do play hard.
And this kind of goes down that the regular season versus postseason. Like, effort gets you a long way in the regular season. The Clippers have a good locker room. They have a good coach. They play their ass off. And they've, you know, remember, everyone thought they were tanking. I mean, they got rid of Harris and sent him out to, what, Philadelphia? And the Clippers, someone forgot to tell them that they weren't supposed to make the postseason.
So Warriors-Clippers, the 1-8. The winner of that plays the winner of the 4-5. Rockets-Jazz, that's good.
Yeah. So the winner of whoever wins the Portland-Oklahoma City series, look, you've got a good path to the Western Conference Finals, whoever ends up winning this, because you avoid the Rockets and you avoid Golden State.
So then the Blazers and Thunder, the 3-6, and then that side of the bracket is Nuggets-Spurs. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think the Spurs are going to give the Nuggets all they can handle. Denver is not playing well and hasn't been playing well for a while.
I still think there's something to Denver, and it's the best home team in the NBA. They got home court advantage. I don't know. I think we rag on Denver a little bit. I think Denver will be fine.
Well, think about this. If the Thunder were the 7 playing the Nuggets, do you pick the Thunder?
I don't. I Oklahoma City's the weirdest team in this whole thing, because we know what they're capable of. We had a guy on from Oklahoma today, from the Oklahoman, who covers the team, and he's like, yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I don't trust Oklahoma City. I just don't, especially with Paul George playing with two bad shoulders.
In the East, the Bucks are the 1 seed, Pistons the 8.
The 0 chance for Detroit.
Who has a worse chance, Pistons or Clippers?
Well, according to the odds makers, it's the Clips.
Winner of that plays Celtics, Pacers, 4-5. That'll be a good series.
Well, and no Marcus Smart, too. He's out with a torn oblique.
And then, of course, Oladipo's out. Sixers are the 3. They play the Nets.
No Joel Embiid in game 1, it sounds like. So who knows what's happening there?
I hate the Nets.
You hate the Nets?
Yes.
There was a quote today from Embiid that said the pain was getting progressively worse in his knee, so it's all going to be a pain tolerance thing for him if he plays or not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's not...
I do hate the Nets, and I'll tell you why. I've seen the Nets play only against the Blazers this year, and while they have made the playoffs, and you got to hand them that...
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell having a nice
year. Yeah, D'Angelo Russell's a nice player, and it's like not the crappy-ass Nets that we're used to.
Yeah.
I thought they were such garbage when it came down to crunch time. I mean, I think that Blazers game went to overtime. I think it was a bananas game.
Yeah, that did go to overtime.
Was that the game?
That was the Nurk injury game.
Yeah, that was the Nurk game.
Yeah, where he had, like, whatever, it was 36 and 18 or whatever, they got hurt.
You know me. Here's a disclaimer, old man take here.
Yeah, Mike Francesa.
Yes, but the art of shot selection and what to do late in games is – lost on the Nets. I mean, they were just, it was just D'Angelo, it's just guys trying to get theirs, like trying to be the hero ball, chucking it up, and so that's why I hate them. Because I hate that. I do, I hate that. And I think the Blazers are great about that, you know? I mean, you know, if any team could play hero ball, it would be the Blazers, because Lillard and McCollum sometimes probably feel like, man, I gotta just win this.
And they're both capable of doing it.
They are, but just the other night, the Lakers, Lillard passes to McCollum, McCollum passes to Harkless, he's open, boom, game-winning three. Nets are the opposite of that, so I hate them. Raptors, Magic, 2-7. Wait, the Magic made the playoffs?
I was right about to say the same thing. I was about to say, raise your hand if you knew Orlando was in the postseason.
Wow.
Like, what?
Let's talk about Orlando.
I saw someone today.
Who's on their team? I don't even know. I can't name one player.
Aaron Gordon. Dirt and Sprague, we're Vucevic. Talking about.
Name two players. Wait, who?
Vucevic.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Dirt and Sprague, is Dwight Howard there? Dirt and Sprague, we're talking about it, and I don't remember who it was, but there was a member of a national media guy that predicted, he might have been a former player, he predicted Orlando to beat Toronto. It was one of LeBron's. It might have been Delonte West.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his reasoning?
I don't know. It was kind of one of those things that was on in the background.
I mean, I'm open to it, but.
Are you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about Orlando.
I don't think
I didn't even know they had players.
I don't think you should be open about Orlando beating Toronto.
Do they have a coach?
Yes, but I don't know who it is.
Is he white?
I'm going to say yes.
Steve Clifford. Yes,
sure.
He is white.
There you go.
He's their coach?
The ghost of Stan Van Gundy.
God.
I think that's who's coaching them.
How about that?
But no, they will not beat Toronto.
So who do you like out of the East? I like Toronto.
I'm going to take Milwaukee.
Now that I say that.
Toronto or Milwaukee, but I'm going to go with Milwaukee. I know that's, you know, it's a young team, but I'm taking the Bucks.
Now, here's an interesting thing about the Bucks. They are seventh. No, yes, they are the seventh team in NBA history with over 45 double-digit wins in the regular season. All six others won the title.
Interesting.
Yes. Now, here's the other thing about Milwaukee that's kind of, I think this is fascinating. And I haven't watched a lot of Bucks basketball either. I mean, when it comes to the NBA, I watch your Blazers and not a lot else,
and
TNT.
And who's playing the Blazers?
Yeah, obviously. But I like to watch, you know, when the Warriors play, the elite teams in the NBA are a blast.
Yeah.
Like, you watch the Rockets Warriors all day. But, you know, when you start mixing in the Magic, and
you're like, what?
So, what's happening with the Bucks is teams are zoning them. Zone D, bro.
Against my Milwaukee Bucks.
And it's working. It is slowing them down. They like to play. They like to get in their pick and rolls early, and they like to move. They get going fast. And so the zone defense, which is thought of basically in the NBA as Bush League.
Yeah.
I mean, the NBA, it's the most uncool thing in the NBA when you start talking about zone defense. But if you think about it, wouldn't the zone, an effective zone, be a good way to combat today's NBA? Because what's happening is more and more teams are running zone. Now,
the problem is if you run zone and you know, like you play zone against the Rockets and they'll shoot 53s on you and can bury you in a big-ass hurry.
Well, yeah, that's probably a bad example to say you want to play zone against them. But against Milwaukee and what they do, it's interesting. When zoned, Milwaukee has the worst turnover rate in the NBA, and they are only 10th offensively.
Huh.
When somebody zones them up, and it slows them way down.
Yeah.
What happens with them is when you bog them down and make them have to think, it stalls them out, and they're not handling it very well.
As opposed to you get out and run with Middleton and Bledsoe and those guys, and obviously,
and then Greek Freak.
Yeah.
But I don't know, would the Blazers do better in a zone from time to time? If you think about, like, their defense is 16th in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's not a great defense. Now, that being said, for those of us, I mean, you all have watched them all year, they have flashes where their defense is sensational. It can be sensational. I think they're a functional defense because they communicate, they play hard. It's just not a great, especially without Nurkic, not a great overall defense. But that could be a team that could be better in a zone from time to time because of the length. Because you've got on the wings, you've got like Aminu and Harkless and those guys out there, and Lehman and these guys have a lot of length.
The problem is, though, you have two guards that can't keep anyone in front of them, and you don't have a rim protector behind it that can.
You've got Zach Collins. I mean, you had Nurkic.
You had Nurkic, but you don't have Nurkic. It will be interesting to see in the playoff series coming here against Golden State. How much, and Quick even said this, he thinks he's going to play a big role. How much of a juggle do you do between offense, defense with Cantor and with Zach Collins, or maybe even to an extent Myers Leonard? But, you know, if the Blazers have a lead, especially, you know, down the final 5-6 minutes, you know, does Cantor even see the floor? Or at that point, do you try to rely on your guards and you put Collins in to try to be a defensive playmaker? And, you know, and how does he do?
Well,
or if Cantor gets in foul trouble early, because you know Oklahoma City is going to go right at him in the middle, you know, are you going to have to rely on Zach Collins to play 25 minutes a night?
Well, I think you are. I think Quick was alluding to that yesterday. So if you missed, okay, there's two interviews I want to point you to. One is Jason Quick of The Athletic yesterday from the Blazers perspective, and the other is Eric Horn, who we had on earlier today from the Oklahoman. Both were very good looks at either side of this matchup, and you can find all of our past interviews and those interviews particularly at 1080thefan.com, the podcast brought to you by Les Schwab.
Someone's saying, is Nurk in a wheelchair better on defense than Cantor?
Yes, oh yeah, yeah.
Well, not a wheelchair. What if we got him one of the, you know, like you tear your Achilles, you get that knee scooter? You know, we put him on one of those? Because then he's still upright. You know, with some reach.
Well, look, they stretch out these series so long, Nurk's probably going to be ready for game four.
Be ready to go. Just we need to get this deep into the series and see what happens.
Well, I don't know. It's interesting what teams are doing. And like I said, more teams around the league, not many, but more are flashing zone from time to time. And I think that's, as they said in this report I was looking at, 10 teams have done it, and teams are trying to do it to Milwaukee. So we'll see what Detroit does. I mean, I don't know what they have.
But I think Milwaukee and Toronto are both interesting teams and fun teams to watch. And I'm kind of excited. I hope it's one of those two, and it's the 1 and 2 seed. So, you know, more than likely it's one of those guys that comes out. But I'm kind of excited to see someone new in the East, not named LeBron. I'd like to see Kawhi Leonard and that Raptors team, or the freak in Fear of the Deer, get a crack at what we're assuming to be Golden State.
I'm kind of pulling for Toronto because I like, and I think they're, I mean, I honestly think if it came down to Toronto, Milwaukee, I would take Toronto.
Toronto.
But I like what they did. You know, that's a team that was the one seed last year.
I think they were the one
that
seed
was last year. They've been a really good – they're like the Blazers of the East, where they're really good guards, built out a decent roster with depth, and got the one seed and then just got their ass kicked in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I love what they did. They said, you know what, we were the one seed. Unlike the Blazers saying, oh, we've got something to build on here, they said, no, that's not good enough. Yes, we were the one seed, but we got swept. We have major flaws.
They blew it
therefore,
up.
Well, they didn't blow it up. Well, they went and got Kawhi Leonard.
I guess that's my point, is you took a guy in DeRozan that you had signed to a big deal, and you traded arguably your best player. You traded a perennial all-star for a guy that was viewed as a rental player.
And it was super risky, right, because you didn't think you could keep Kawhi Leonard, but they said, hey, we're going to do it anyway. I just think that's ballsy, and now look at him. They're the 2 seed, and I think much better equipped to go deeper in the playoffs than they were last year.
There's a lot of people that think that what happens in this playoff series could determine what Kawhi Leonard does. Like, if they end up winning a title, if they get to an NBA Finals, I think it's a lot harder for Kawhi Leonard to leave and go play with the Clippers get bounced in the first or second round.
But what about, like, he's an L.A. guy.
Yeah.
And, like, look at the Lakers.
Well, that's why they're
saying. Do you want to do that now?
And they're saying that if he ends up in L.A., all the scuttlebutt is that it's not going to be with the Lakers, it'll be with the Clippers.
Interesting. Well, the worst kept secret in the league is that Durant is going to New York with Kyrie.
It could be another summer.
Maybe he goes there.
It could be another summer where the landscape shifts.
But as Quick was, it's important to note. I was talking about those interviews we did. Jason Quick said this yesterday, and let's repeat it for those that missed that interview and won't hear that interview. He said earlier this year, in a game, because, you know, Cantor played in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
He's good friends with Steven Adams. And he said that they exposed Cantor to the point where they just ran everything at him, to the point where Steven Adams walked over when he was with New York,
yeah,
with the Knicks. And he walked over to the Knicks coach and said, man, you got to take him out of this game. We are torching him.
Yeah.
That's bad. I mean, and now what are they going to do in this series? They're going to do the exact same thing because they know they can't.
This is why, you know, Quick thinks that one of the X factors, well, he said Curry was one, has to be a guy that has a big series, but he, you know, Zach Collins, you know, hey, sink or swim, right? You drafted him, what, 10th overall to be, what did GM Bro call him, a foundational player? Well,
here's your chance. I mean,
here's your chance. Here's your chance to prove it, because he should play a big role in this series.
All right, in the news coming up next, but first, Mike with SportsCenter.
It's the USA against the world. Live from Moda Center, site of tonight's Nike Hoop Summit. This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. We're here at the Moda Center for Nike Hoop Summit, which is later here on The Fan. You can listen to it.
The world team is warming up right now, and apparently this is Nico Mannion or something. This Swag was pointing him out. I guess he's the...
I don't think that's his name.
His name's Nico. I don't remember what his last name was. You can look it up. But he's supposed to be the number two point guard. He's going to Arizona. And he looks like he's 12 years old. And he's...
Well, I think...
Either that or he's starting the adventures of Pete and Pete. He's got a big red flop of hair.
He's like a male Pippi Longstocking.
He is. But apparently he's like... him and the Anthony, Greg Anthony's kid... Cole Anthony are the two best point guards in this class, and the Nico kid from Italy, he's been playing high school in Arizona. He's going to Arizona to play for Sean Miller, and it just jumps out at you how young.
Yeah, these guys are so young. They're babies.
I mean, you just look at him, and no way can you see in a year's time that guy being in the NBA. But they're saying this guy is the man.
All right, it is April 12, 2019. Time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. Wait, it is April 12th, right? Yes, it is. Thank you.
You are correct.
It is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
I don't mind a quality grilled cheese. Now, is it still a grilled cheese if I throw some ham or some bacon on it?
No.
It has to just be a grilled cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. What are you doing? What is this? There are rules.
Well, when
you can't just... A ham... If you grill up a ham and cheese sandwich, it's a ham and cheese sandwich.
But lots of times when you go to a restaurant, it'll say grilled cheese, and then you just can add bacon.
Yeah, I think a grilled cheese is any grilled sandwich with a lot of cheese on it. You can put whatever else you want on it.
There's some controversy.
Also,
here.
Does Rob hate grilled cheese because he considers it kid food?
I don't hate grilled cheese. Grilled cheese is amazing because, well, it's cheese.
Yeah.
And cheese is amazing. But, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I rarely order it.
Cheese is
like,
cheese.
Where would you order a grilled cheese?
It depends. Like, sometimes you go places, like, there's a food cart here, and that's all they do is grilled cheese.
Yeah, I've been there. It's amazing.
Safeco has a grilled cheese restaurant. Well, I guess it's not Safeco anymore.
Well, but,
it's
okay, if you go to a grilled cheese restaurant, yes, you're probably getting grilled cheese. I'm saying, if you're at a restaurant, are you ever ordering a restaurant that has all kinds of things?
Probably
are you ever
not.
Ordering grilled cheese?
Probably
your
not.
Kids are, though.
Yes.
Now, do you make grilled cheese at home?
Yeah. Although
for you?
Yeah, well, mostly if the kids ask for it, but if they ask for it, then yes, I will have a grilled cheese as well. But to me, if I'm going plain grilled cheese and it doesn't have bacon or ham, there is another accoutrement that needs to be with it.
Do you need some sort of...
you know where I'm going with
spicy
this.
Mayo or something?
Tomato soup.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great combo.
I need a tomato soup. And by the way, I did look it up. It is indeed Nico Mannion. You said that's not his name.
Oh, no, that's not his name.
Yeah, it is.
No.
I think he's Sean Mannion's brother. I think he's his long-lost brother from Italy.
Yeah, he looks young out there, but...
Well, he doesn't just look young, but he...
He's small.
He just looks like he shouldn't be dominating a basketball game. If you saw that guy down...
Well, he looks like the manager. Like, they're all warming up.
Yes.
And he looks like he's just the manager warming up with the team.
Yes.
But apparently he's an elite point guard.
He's the guy.
A jury Friday declined to award any money to a Portland protester who was 66 years old when a police officer singled her out of a crowd, shoved her face into the street, and broke her nose while handcuffing her.
Ah. So...
Peggy.
Oh, Peg. What was she protesting? We don't know.
Well, let's read on.
Just a random protest that broke out?
Look at Peggy's face. There's her face.
Oh, yeah, Peggy.
She looks very sad.
That doesn't look so good. Well, She's old, and she's clearly a hippie. And
she's 66 years old.
She had her nose broken.
Now, jurors found 9-3 that Portland police officer Adi Ramek and other officers did not intentionally harm or cause offensive contact with Margaret.
So
Peggy Zabrowski.
So Peg, she just they saying that just as she was going to the ground, it was like incidental contact, no pass interference.
I think that is what they're saying. Which, I mean, I don't know the details of this case, but
look, I try to stand.
You got to be careful with that.
Look, I understand it's a very difficult job for the police, and a lot of times I try to back the police. But there are
now
other.
See, look at this dude. That guy looks like he's 50.
Yes.
Is he on the team? That guy, that ripped guy on the end, or is that one of the coaches?
No, I think that's
he's in a tank top.
I think that's one of the guys.
See, he looks 50 years old.
And Nico over here looks like he's 12 and belongs on the
that's
Adventures.
That's his
of,
kid.
He belongs on the Adventures of Pete and Pete. There are times, though, like when you see the cops, and I get
I love that show.
That was a great show. I was a big fan of it. Like, do you really have to throw a 66-year-old protester woman to the ground? Like, I'm not here to tell you how to do your job.
See, I was going
to
go the other way.
I get it's a difficult job, but she's 66. Like, what harm does she pose?
I was
where
gonna...
you have to, like, physically toss her to the ground?
Hey, there's Jeremy Lin. He's gone back in time.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
I was going to go the other way on that and say, you know what? If you're protesting and the cops have a reason to arrest you,
yeah,
which they obviously did, sometimes you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a fun process. It's like
no, I understand that, and that's what I said.
But yes, you're right.
I'm treading lightly, but I think there's a difference that if you're arresting me, like, and I'm out, like, if me, and,
why
if,
you're harmless?
If me and Peggy are at the same,
you
protest,
and Peggy are equally harmless.
We are not. If we are out at the same protest, I get why a cop comes up to me and maybe gives me the taser or roughs me up and gets me on the ground. But look at Peggy.
I know. She looks like your grandma.
I know.
I feel bad for her. Look at her. She looks so
sad.
I know. Sad.
Like, what's Peggy going to do besides lay there and bleed?
Well, it broke her nose, which is not funny. But she sued for $200,000.
Seems a bit much for a busted nose.
Yeah. She sued for $1,200 for her medical bills, but then the rest for pain and suffering.
Oh, God. The old pain and suffering. Peggy, your pain and or suffering is not worth 200 grand.
Well, I feel like,
I'll
you know.
Give you 10 G's.
Oh, there's another picture of her. See that?
Why? Does she really?
She look. I mean.
Is she really a threat to anyone?
Yeah, they got her all cuffed up
what,
there.
Is she going to scarf you to death?
She's all bleeding with her scarf on.
Is she going to whirl around real fast?
Her grandma glasses.
Exactly. Her glasses are going to poke someone in the eye.
Let's see what we got here. The
someone said Peggy should have gotten out of the street when told.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of... Listen, I know she's a 66-year-old woman, but I agree with that. It's like, look...
Yeah, clear out. Move.
Yeah, they're trying... I mean, they have a job to do. I know you don't like that, but sorry, Peggy.
Their job is to kick... You know what they elect to do? They elect to kick ass. It doesn't matter if it's me or Peggy.
Let's see here. The ACLU...
Now, I hope we elect to kick ass is what I hope we do.
And they did.
The ACLU of Oregon had highlighted her case as one of unnecessary brute force. Another example, they said, of Portland police overreacting or infringing on the free speech rights of protesters.
Okay.
After the verdict, the officer and his city defense team exchanged smiles, hugs, and pats while...
High five!
While Peggy made eye contact and smiled at the jurors as they left the room. See, Peggy's a delightful woman.
Yeah.
To your point. You don't need to take her down like... Bin Laden.
Old Peg.
But, you know.
We got to start a GoFundMe campaign for Peggy.
I'm guessing that's already out there.
By the way, that Nico kid, I've watched him now hit about 9 threes in a row. The dude
you know,
stroking it in warm-ups.
That is a thing where... Oh, missed one.
I just jinxed him.
He missed one.
Yeah, he finally missed one.
Have you ever watched NBA guys? Like, you've been here early where you're watching.
It's insane.
They don't...
No.
It's unbelievable.
When no one's on them and they can just stand there and shoot open threes, you just – like.
I mean, Curry makes like 90% of
them. I know. It's gall darn ridiculous. But it goes to show you like in college, right, how many guys can score a Jimmer Fredette, and then all of a sudden you get a hand in your face and it's slightly more difficult.
How many threes – if I gave you 100 threes from right down there in the corner, how many threes would you make?
100?
Yes, 100. Because they'll shoot 100 in warm-ups for sure.
25?
Oh, wow.
I think I can knock down 25%.
Interesting.
Maybe 20,
we might have to put this to the test.
Maybe 20%. That's a
is
bit.
Is that a backtrack?
Yeah, I'll backtrack a little
dude,
bit.
Dude, I think I might make 8.
2 out of 10? You can't make. You're not gonna
maybe.
Make, I'm gonna go 20. That I'm gonna be. I'm backtracking. I'm gonna go 2 out of 10. So give me 20%. and I get to stand in one spot, right? I don't have to move around.
Like these guys do. All they do is shoot from the same spot.
And the corner three is the easiest one to make. It's the shortest one. And you're going not NBA three, but I get the international three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go 20%.
All right. I don't think I'm making 20%.
I've seen you ball with your hairy shoulders.
You know, I used to be – I was that guy, though. I used to ball. And I would be that guy. No, I'd have to, I have no handles. But I would be that guy that would stand out there and be like, come on, give me the ball.
Hibachi!
I'm going to make this.
That's all it is.
And then it's one of the – it's like if you make it, they think you're a good shooter.
Yeah.
And then it's like then they keep feeding you.
Then you get
but if you miss, they may give you one more, and then it's like, dude, we
ain't
passing
you. It is so true. In a pickup game, you've got two opportunities to prove that you're worthy of the ball.
Yeah, and then if you make it, you start jogging back down the court like, yeah, they all think I'm legit. Little do they know.
The next nine that you miss, and someone's like, wait a minute.
I'm just cool, guys.
Maybe we're onto something here, and don't throw him the ball.
All right. When we come back, Portland. There is a local city that is one of the best in the country to raise a family.
Okay.
We'll get to that on In the News when we return on The Fan.
This is a Nike Hoop Summit edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
We're at the Moda Center for Nike Hoop Summit tonight. We'll have it on The Fan at 6:30. Going to cut us a little short. But it's kind of – I mean, this is a cool event. You know, we're watching the world team. So it's the top high school seniors in the U.S. against the top 19 and under players from around the world. And the world team is out messing around right now. They're kind of warming up. And it's cool, one, because it's just a giant melting pot of different –
You got
a guy from Italy. You got a kid over there from Asia.
You got one from Jamaica. You got another guy from Belfast. I mean, it's
super
it's all
cool.
Over the Congo.
But these guys, I mean, these kids are unbelievable.
Yeah, they've got a kid. He's going to Illinois. His name is Coffee Cockburn. They've got him listed at 6'11", 280. He plays at Oak Hill. And this is the kid from Jamaica. And good Lord. Like, it's amazing that's eight. Because you look at some of the other kids – and they look like children. That guy looks like he's someone's dad. That's insane. He's like a young Dwight Howard.
Here are the criteria for
best place to raise a family.
Yes, best places, best cities, best U.S. cities to raise a family. We're talking about quality of public schools. We're talking about measures of children's health. We're talking about cost of childcare. We're talking about affordability of housing and transportation options.
I saw that Portland was recently named the eighth most livable city, not for raising children, but just the eighth most enjoyable city to live in.
Number of daycare options, parks and libraries, and because they know what really matters to kids, the number of candy stores. Also, the number of potential playmates, percentage of the population that is under age six.
God, can I tell you, were you, because you were around when Meat was young.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever have to do play dates?
Yeah. No, sort of.
I'm here to tell you, of all the – now, being a father has been the pleasure of my life. I love my kids, best thing that ever happened to me. But I will tell you that there are some real crappy parts to being a parent, and might I put at number one, play dates.
Yeah, that was always my wife's department.
Oh.
I don't deal in play dates.
Hey, we should set up the kids, right? Let's have a play date. And then
No, let's not.
How about you just drop your kid off and then you go home?
I didn't want to tell you this. My kid hates your kids.
Yes.
It's not going to work.
And guess what? I hate you. I don't want you in my house. Your kid's welcome here.
I don't want you knowing where I live.
Yes, leave. Leave me alone. Just because our kids hang out doesn't mean we need to be friends.
So that's a pretty good criteria. 10 best places to raise a family. Number 10, Bozeman, Montana. That's I've got a...
you got a buddy that lives out there.
Yeah, it's fantastic there.
Except during the winter, I'll pass.
Yeah, totally. I'm the same way. I tell him that. I said, I'll come visit you, but it ain't going to be in the winter.
As someone that's from Alaska, I don't need 9 feet of snow. I'm good.
Morgantown, West Virginia, number 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Country roads?
Number 8, Fayetteville, Arkansas. But that, of course, a lot of that due to the whole Walmart thing.
Fayetteville, so they were that
Have you ever been to Fayetteville?
I have. I have a buddy of mine that's from there. That's where the University of Arkansas
They've
is.
They've done a great job there.
It's actually a really nice town.
Absolutely. And it's all because of Walmart.
And it was a top 10 place to live in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fayetteville gets a bad rap because, well, Arkansas.
Well, I don't think it does get a bad rap. I think most people know that Fayetteville's like this gem of
It's not bad out there. It's like, you know, if you're going to live down there, I'd go Nashville and Fayetteville, the two places that are most enjoyable.
Oak Park, Illinois, that is a suburb of Chicago. State College, Pennsylvania. Interesting, some of these are college towns.
College places.
Number five, Bloomington, Indiana.
That might be a cost of living thing and, you know, daycare, you know, around
college. Well, college towns are great. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to college towns.
Sure. You know, Eugene, Corvallis. We don't hear a lot of people speak bad of them. About adults who live down there.
Yeah, like the college provides, like, something really cool for the in the community.
Sure.
And everybody rallies
community
around
pride.
It. But at the same time, they're never, well, not always, like, big cities, you know, they're nice
size. Yeah, it tends to keep costs down because it's affordable for students to live there.
Right, right. Number four, Fort Collins, Colorado, where Colorado State is. That's a great city. I don't know if you've ever been there. Well yeah, of course you have.
Yeah, we played there.
But
admittedly, I didn't see a ton of it other than...
It's a good town.
Yeah.
And number three... Beaverton, Oregon.
Get right the hell out of town.
Beaverton, Oregon, Swigard.
How about that? You know,
that's where Swigard resides.
Well,
he raised a child in Beaverton.
Lynch lives out there.
Yeah.
They'll raise puppies eventually.
Yes.
The fan man.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot. I will say there have been a lot of fan employees over the years that do make their way out to Beaverton.
Number two, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Another college.
I've never been there.
Another college town. No, me neither.
And number one, the best place to raise a family. Moscow, Idaho.
Now,
that can't be right.
I will tell you what.
Now, that's where the University of Idaho is.
Yeah, and it's basically Pullman Light.
Right.
And I have been to Moscow many, many times. And I'll tell you what. That can kiss my ass. That's
wow.
The best place to raise a family?
So it
says. You go straight to hell, that list.
I like the criteria, though. That's a pretty robust criteria. But
tell you what, kids. Where do you want to move to? Not Moscow. Not the one in Russia, not the one in Idaho.
Hey, so
I'll tell you that right now.
Congratulations, Beaverton.
Yeah, go Beaverton. Hillsboro, not so much.
Now, why would you say that?
Oh, just because it's right next to Beaverton. Like, if you live in Hillsboro, is it the same thing? Or is, like, the moment you cross over into Beaverton, all of a sudden you're living the good life? But if you're in Hillsboro, yeah, Swag's giving it the thumbs up. Swag's saying
is that
nuts.
True, Swag?
Swag's saying nuts to Hillsboro, and it's all about Beaverton.
Really? Swag says he lives right on the border, and he is confirming. You do not want to cross the tracks to Hillsboro.
It's not good.
I think that's patently unfair. Beaverton's snobs.
Is that like a West Lynn, Lake Oswego sort of thing? Yeah. We look down. Look down our noses at the other side.
All right. That's in the news for April 12th. When we return, we'll have the Hot 5 at 5.
Someone said in regards to Moscow being the number one place to raise a family, they said, yeah, a white family.
Oh, so true.
100%.
So true. All right, Hot 5 at 5 is next. We'll have a Masters update for you, the latest on Paul George. And, big Oregon Ducks basketball news today. And all that is next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.